We pray. Merciful Lord, how glorious our Savior is, too bright for human eyes. In your blazing glory you stand in all victory and grace, showering us with your love divine. Bless us, dear Lord, with a fervent faith that trusts your holy word, that we might rejoice in the new life you have given us, bestowed upon us, which we will enjoy with you for all eternity. Lift us, dear Lord, to the heights of praise and adoration for your glorious Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Easter is truly the most beautiful day of the entire year. We're joined together with our songs of victory. Victory for what Christ has done. His victory, our victory. But Easter does pose a problem. Oh, it's like a movie we've seen 100 times, isn't it? We know the Easter account very, very well, and that's a good thing. But by the sheer familiarity of it, the temptation is to not appreciate it with the awe that it so richly deserves. On that first Easter morning, the disciples weren't singing songs of awe. They were cowering in denial and fear. They couldn't fathom what was happening. To look at how the disciples handled that first Easter, we'd almost assume that Jesus hadn't prepared them for him coming back to life. But he had. Peter, James, and John saw him glow in all his godly glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. All the disciples had seen him bring other people back to life. Jairus' daughter, the widow's son, Lazarus. And then there was always Jesus' promises over and over and over again that after 3 days he would rise from the dead. Even his enemies knew this. That's why they posted the guard. Not believing he'd really rise, but that his disciples would steal his body to say that he rose from the dead. But to the disciples, it's like none of that ever happened. When they saw his crushed body on the cross, when they saw the agony and the pain, that all flew from their memory. They were so intensely engrossed over their own sadness and misery. And so it seemed crazy, impossible, maybe even diabolical, when the women came and said, "He is alive." Have we ever been tempted to think of Jesus' resurrection as just so fantastic, so way out there, that it really can't be taken seriously? Satan will tempt us. A few years ago, I saw a picture that kind of helped me understand the grief the disciples were in, such enormous grief that it blinded their eyes to the coming resurrection. It was a very interesting picture, black and white. It was a crowd of picnickers under this great big oak tree. The horrible part about this picture, though, was that a man was hanging from that oak tree from a noose. It was a picture of a lynching. And everyone seemed so happy in the picture, except, of course, the dead man. Could you imagine a friend or a relative in that day, standing under that oak tree and pointing up and saying, "He's my God, my Messiah, my Savior." Unimaginable. Or even if they go one step further and said, "You know, he's dead now, but I know that in 3 days he's going to come back to life again." Nobody in their right mind would do that. And yet, here is Jesus. While he was alive, all of the disciples would point to him and say, "He is my God, my Messiah, my Savior." But oh, when they saw his body hanging on the cross, that was different. That image burned into their memories. We don't see the disciples standing beneath the cross and pointing up and saying, "My God, my Messiah, my Savior." They hadn't prepared themselves for Jesus' crucifixion because they weren't taking his words into the depths of their being. And since they were not ready for his crucifixion, they were not awaiting his resurrection. And instead, they were cowering in fear. The Pharisees and the chief priests, oh, they were gathered beneath Christ's cross, much like the mob in the picture. How horrible. They were there to torment him, to throw his words back in his face. To them, a lifeless, twisted corpse proved that Jesus could not be the Messiah. What could a dead Messiah do for anyone? But this Messiah didn't remain dead. His body didn't remain lifeless, did it? But that raises so many questions. What does it mean, he is alive? The angels appeared to the women. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." The women then went and told the disciples. But the disciples said it sounded like so much nonsense. Dead bodies don't just get up and walk out of their tombs. The disciples ran to see the tomb. It was empty. The body is missing. But was it alive? Had someone taken the body? But who and why would they do that? This was craziness to them. How could he be alive? What would it mean if he was alive? Well, Jesus coming back to life was a crisis for the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, all those who had fought against him. Jesus' miracles of healing the sick and feeding the 5,000, calming the stormy waters of the lake, all prove that he really is God. God in human flesh. And yet these Pharisees and the teachers of the law, all the officials, they pushed that reality out of their mind. That was just too much for them to consider. But now by his very own power, Jesus raised himself from the dead, came back to life. And what would that mean for his enemies? Oh, it proves he truly is God, and that the leaders of the Jews were fighting against God. Wow. They were plotting to kill the Lord of glory. They were hating their one and only Savior. You see, to them, a dead Messiah poses no threat, but a living Jesus? Oh, he would call them to account. Sooner or later, they would stand before this living Jesus and wish they had never been born. An eternity of punishment was waiting for these enemies of God. Well, also today, there are many who fight against Jesus and his holy word, both inside the church and outside the church. They will fall under that same eternal punishment. But for us, we are the ones who do point to Jesus and say, "My God, my Messiah, my Savior." And yet even for us, there is a warning. For Satan has targeted us to tempt us. to be overconfident, comfortable, casual with Jesus. Our sinful natures want us to feel so secure in Jesus' forgiveness that we don't feel any guilt anymore when we sin. What does it mean, He is alive? Jesus' resurrection doesn't mean that we have a free pass to enjoy all of our sinful pleasures, that we can say whatever raunchy thing just simply wants to come out of our mouth, that we can use this body God has given us to do the work of Satan. No, Jesus died to pay for sins, not for us to live in our sins. This is the same kind of sinful arrogance and apathy that Satan used to bring the leaders of Israel to hate Jesus, to hate him when he confronted them with their sins. If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. What does it mean, He is alive? It would take a while for the disciples to be able to answer that question. It didn't come to them immediately. They were very reluctant believers. They would need to put their fingers in his scars. They would need to hear again his words of peace. The Holy Spirit would need to be poured out on them, yet in ever greater measures. But they would get it. And oh, when they got it, it brought such peace to the very bones of their body. Love and joy and hope welled up from within them. They became totally different people when they understood what that meant. He is alive. Oh, that God would continue to pour out His Holy Spirit on you and me, that we too might grasp how high and wide and deep His love is, and what it means that He is alive. That peace and love and joy might well up within us too, and we may be different people, growing people in the love of the Lord. When the disciples stopped looking at themselves and their own pain, they were able to step back and look at God's bigger picture, His whole plan from beginning to end. God had orchestrated this to send His one and only Son to suffer this wretched death and glorious resurrection, to step forth and purchase us for Himself, a people belonging to Him. There was no other way for God to save us from our wickedness. God made all of our sins His own possession and suffered the punishment and curse for us. Jesus paid the price, so we get to go free. Free to live in grace and faith for Him. Jesus on His cross gave up His spirit and died. After 3 days, He came back from that other realm where He was and entered His lifeless corpse once again and brought it back to life. He came back to life. And His resurrection proves that His payment satisfied God's justice. Paid in full, it is finished. Mission accomplished, salvation won. And now we are free. We sinners are actually declared to be saints, the holy children of God. The Holy Spirit has used and continues to use that glorious proclamation, He is alive, to work faith in our hearts, to strengthen the faith in our hearts, to bring us ever closer to our loving Lord. What does it mean, He is alive? It means we sinners, once dead, are now alive. Alive in Christ, alive with Christ for all eternity. It also means that our souls will go to heaven when we breathe our last, and our dead bodies will also rise out of their graves, tombs, or urns, wherever they might be, and be transformed like Jesus' glorious body on that day called judgment. Jesus promised that he would walk out of his tomb. And he also promised us that he would unite our bodies with our souls that we might be with him forever in glory. What does it mean he is alive? It means everything. Life, hope, love, forgiveness of all of our sins, eternal life in heaven instead of burning in hell. It means literally everything. And so we spread the good news of what has happened this day so many years ago. We join the many millions throughout the world who point to the cross and the open grave and tell the world, our God and your God, our Messiah, your Messiah, our Savior, your Savior. That more and more people might join us in that Easter festival that awaits us in heaven. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Dear Lord, from eternity you had good and gracious plans to ransom us, redeem us at your Son's own cost. In his glorious resurrection, you have worked your marvelous plan, and you have sent your Holy Spirit to give us faith that we might be called the children of God. So may our lives give you the glory and praise you so richly deserve. May we turn so many more hearts and lives to you and your glory. Bless us, Heavenly Father, and use us according to your divine purpose. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.